Be Mitch and Finley, it's 1 o'clock in the District of Columbia and points west, like where I am in Ashburn, Virginia. Be Mitch, I never expected to stumble into 30 minutes of calls on the COVID vaccine. Was that on your list of to-dos this morning?
Not on my list of to-dos, but I believe that whether or not it's just about sports or not, we have to sometime touch on those issues that we deal with on a regular basis, the current events.
I think
that's our responsibility. And those people that say stick to sports, to hell with that. We're going to stick to whatever needs to be spoken over these airways.
Well, and that became a topic because Montez Sweat kind of made it one.
Discuss it like that, it is a sports topic.
Right. I tweeted out, can Americans agree on anything? And I got over 500 votes in 5 minutes, and the overwhelming answer is no. 85% of people say we can't agree.
Yeah, you don't like onion.
Well, I think we should all be able to agree that cicadas are the worst and they should be eradicated from the planet.
A lot of people like to eat them, so they don't think that.
Chasing that clout like our guy Linnell. Right now, though, let's go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today. Let's bring in our friend, Mr. Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Will, what's going on, man? How are you, buddy?
What's up, boys? Seems like old Riverboat and some of his players have got you guys working up some fun June sports radio topics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'd rather stick to just the football, Will, but sometimes you got to dip your toes in the deep end.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, man, I have been asking you about the back stuff. But I think it's interesting that, and for the record, I mean, I got my second shot of my second Moderna shot like 3 hours ago. So
oh, wow.
If I donk out in the middle of this interview, then you know why.
How are you feeling?
Well, I also went to the Hurricanes game last night, so I can't really tell if it's the after effect. I don't know what's what.
Could be a hangover. Could be the shot. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Hard to tell. You're getting kicked with the vaccine when you're suffering through a rolling wave of hockey hangover. Anyway, I do think I think the biggest problem that we have in this, I mean, not the biggest problem we have in this country, but one of the big problems in this country is that it is the shaming problem. Like people on both sides are trying to shame everybody. It is okay to have, like, I think that, you know, the vaccine, go get the vaccine. Like, I got it, and I think it's important that, you know, everybody be smart and educate people about it. But I also think it's kind of important not to shame people who want more answers to the questions, or have questions about it. Like, it's okay to have questions and to be not sure about it. You know, I'm sort of bothered by the shaming on both sides. I think that's the biggest problem, the biggest takeaway I have from all of this. Which I feel is a fair thing to say.
No, yeah, that's totally fair what you're saying. But then I ask you this question, and you've been around the league a long time. If people start getting it and people have the mindset, well, I'm not getting it, how do you think the league handles those people?
It would be interesting. I mean, I would look at the PGA Tour if I'm a football player and look at John Rahm, who lost $1.5 million because he didn't have the vaccine. And again, it's his choice. Now, it does sound like he went out and got vaccinated afterwards. But, you know, when you look at football, man, if you're a guy who's on a, you know, Montez Sweat probably doesn't have to worry about it because he's a former high pick, former first round pick, and he's still in a rookie deal and a talented player. If you're a guy who's a fringe roster guy, you know, Brandon Bean said it with the Bills. You know, football teams don't care about it. This is not, it's not personal, it's not political, it's not anything. They're going to make business decisions. Mm-hmm. And if for some reason, you know, you're out there and you're causing a stir with your discussion about something, anything, and you're a fringe roster guy, I mean, the football teams will make business decisions. They don't care. So, you know, I think that's something that should go through the thought process as well.
So, speaking of football and business decisions, let's check in with you kind of going around the league. What'd you think of the Julio trade?
I thought it had to happen for the Titans. It wasn't being talked about enough. Their wide receiver depth chart was a problem. Their number two was Josh Reynolds. You know, something happens to A.J. Brown, Josh Reynolds is your one, and Anthony Firkser is your top tight end. You know, good players, but not, you know, if you want to be a team that competes for a Super Bowl, you had to get more depth at the wide receiver position. And they'd sort of gotten pinched by salary cap issues and free agency. You know, Corey Davis, who they declined the fifth-year option on, got the big contract from the Jets. Jonnu Smith, you know, they I guess they could have used the franchise tag, but opted not to. You know, he ends up going to the Patriots on a big free agent deal, and so they just didn't have the cash to spend on their own guys with some of the deals they're putting together. And when you look at the way that the Ryan Tannehill and the Derrick Henry contracts line up, they, you know, it makes sense. They have this little short window where they're kind of going all in on their core guys to try and win a Super Bowl. And Julio Jones is a Hall of Fame talent. I think he'll probably be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. And an elite wide receiver. He's, when healthy, even at 32, I think he's probably the best wide receiver in football. So you pair him with A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, it's like having three Julius Peppers operating at your skill positions. And Ryan Tannehill, a really underrated quarterback, even at this point of after several good years in Tennessee. So I think that I think it's a good move for them. The Titans defense is still a question mark, and you know, losing Arthur Smith as an offensive coordinator, that's a red flag for me too. But I think they should be the favorite to win that division. I was surprised they weren't before. For the Falcons, it's a very confusing move. They're trying to be Jason Lockenfor said it on my podcast today, actually. That and so he's like, they're trying to be three things at once or two things at once. Like, they don't know what they are. You know, you restructure Matt Ryan's contract. You essentially lock him in for 2 years. Then you triple down on it by giving him, you know, by drafting Kyle Pitts at four. They had the opportunity to trade out of four. I know factually that teams called them and offered them chances to move down. The Lions, for instance, wanted to come up for Ja'Marr Chase, that, you know, come to seven. And so when you look at this, they could have gone to seven and got more picks. So what are they? Are they rebuilding? Because you just traded Julio Jones, you know? Are you rebuilding? Are you trying to win with Matt Ryan now? It's a very confusing message to the fans, and I just don't think you know I don't think you know what they are. And that I have major red flags about the Falcons for 2021.
Not to mention Calvin Ridley might be hurt now.
Wow. I didn't see that. Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, so take what I said about the Titans with A.J. Brown and apply it to Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's hurt. Let's go to the depth chart because I don't know off the top of my head who Atlanta's.
We talk so much.
Zacchaeus? I mean, Russell Gage? Greg Dortch, the legend? Greg Dortch from Wake Forest? I mean, that ain't going to cut it if Ridley ain't healthy. It's Kyle Pitts and Greg Dortch.
Well, and Brenton, I don't know if you know this factually, but to me, it's really obvious on the outside looking in. In D.C., we focus so much on Dan Snyder's involvement in the football operations. And it's been a problem repeatedly over the last 20 years. That's undeniable. But you can't tell me that you hire a new coach and a new GM that they don't want to strip that thing bare to actually rebuild it the correct way. And ownership said, nah, you're not getting rid of Matt Ryan. It's too much money. He means too much to this franchise. Do something else. You can't tell me that's not what happened.
I think some of that is true, JP, but I also think that the hire was informed in part because of, I think Arthur Smith, this is how I understand it, Arthur Smith, when he interviewed, was like, I can win with Matt Ryan.
Yep.
And so I don't think you're wrong. I think Terry Fontenot's probably thinking, okay, this is a clear rebuild. You know, we're going to strip this puppy down, sell Matt, trade off Matt Ryan, trade a Julio, you know, get as many picks back as we can, hopefully take a quarterback at four. I know the report, I think it was Albert Breer reported it, that they liked Trey Lance a lot at four. They didn't want to take Justin Fields. That's fine. Like, you know, trust your evaluation. Don't force a quarterback at four if you don't like him. But trade down, accumulate picks, you know. And I do think that they are hanging on to the Matt Ryan thing. And if you want to hang on to Matt Ryan and, you know, go for it with a really great offense that would be fun to watch with Julio Ridley and Kyle Pitts, okay. And Mike Davis is a good player at running back as well, sort of underrated. But, man, you look at this defense is a problem. Mm. They're not stopping anybody. They're basically a homeless man's version of the Cowboys from last year before Dak Prescott got hurt. You know, they're going to put up some points. Ain't stopping anybody. And Dean Pease can cook up some stuff, you know, with blitzes and pressures and without necessarily elite talent. But it's just hard for me to imagine this Falcons team. You know, the Julio trade shouldn't be that big of a marker, but it really is. I mean, you just feel like they're sort of not waving the white flag, but do they know? What are they? And we don't know, and I don't think they know. And I think you're right. There's pressure from ownership, and there's an inconsistent message here. Hopefully it's the last time I talk about the Falcons this year.
Well, we're going to talk about something. Let's move to Wisconsin. Let's talk to Green Bay. Okay. Aaron Rodgers didn't show up. They can find him, and now they're saying that the quarterback isn't playing well. You get players coming out publicly saying that they are on Aaron Rodgers' side. How does this thing end up at the end?
And by the way, that the Falcons thing was not a shot at y'all for asking about it.
No, dude, you're good. That's the first time we've talked about the Falcons all year, so I don't think our audience is going to be upset.
Last time we talk about them too. The Rodgers thing, man. It's weird. Right now we're in the middle of this wave of it's like this passive aggressive Packers PR stunt, where they're trying to push the fans against Aaron Rodgers to leverage him into either laying down his trade demands or, walking away or just coming back. I think they want him to come back if the fans get pressure on him. That's ultimately what they're trying to do.
Mark Murphy writes this monthly,
editorial on Packers.com. It's like, we don't want to, we're going to keep this in-house. Of course, our fans are divided. It's like, all right, I see what you're doing here, Mark. It's just, come on, this is not 1975. Like, be a little less blatant with your PR stunts. But the problem for them is then you get Jordan Love out there in OTAs and he's, can't even run a 2-minute drill, sailing passes over wide open dudes. That's what Rob Demoski, I think, tweeted about yesterday. And so I think unless Jordan Love plays well, I think Green Bay is going to have to cave a little bit on Rodgers here because, and I think there'll be a bridge. I think there'll be a bridge that they can, there'll be a time that they can bridge that gap come around training camp when Rodgers gets a little antsy. The timing of the routine for anybody in the NFL, even us in the media, but especially these players, once it starts to get to training camp, it sort of shakes you in your head a little bit. I think when you're doing that holdout that late. And if the Packers look like they're going to be terrible with Jordan Love, then they're just going to have to find some way to get Aaron Rodgers back in there. Now, if he's just decided I'm never playing for the Packers again, we might be headed towards a retirement stalemate. I don't know if he's got that in him. I think that's a tough ask for a guy who's a Hall of Famer that's on a team with a roster good enough to win a Super Bowl and certainly get to the NFC Championship game. So I think we ultimately get to a point where there's a compromise to be made, but right now, the sides seem pretty firmly entrenched in their respective beliefs, and it'll probably be a grinder until we get to July or August.
What compromise is there? And I say this because I personally sat through Trent Williams' holdout, and that was a personal thing about the organization. And I thought money could sweeten the pot, and then Bruce Allen never even made that attempt, and it was one of many terrible decisions by Bruce Allen. I don't know what compromise there is the Packers can offer. And I think it was Peter King kind of came up with this idea that the Packers guarantee they'll trade Rodgers in 2022, and they guarantee this year's money. I'm curious if you've thought through hypothetical capitulations that the Packers could make to get Aaron out of Hawaii, cutting his hair, and back in Wisconsin.
And by the way, it is kind of interesting. He keeps making these veiled references to plants and
definitely veiled. I mean, you could say pot on our show. I think. I hope.
I know. I just didn't want to call out Aaron Rodgers for looking like a pothead. But he's hair's long. He's growing out a beard. He's like super chill.
Is he in Maui? I mean, Maui's known for its wowie.
I'm not trying to do the thing where you say, Rodgers' career went to tank once he started dating Olivia Munn. I'm not doing that hot take, but I do wonder if you date an actress, like a Hollywood actress. Maybe your lifestyle changes a little bit. Maybe he's like super chill bro Aaron Rodgers, and that's sort of informing his approach to this. I'm zen, whatever. I don't care. This is my stance on it. If they want to, I'm just done with them. And we'll see. Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, maybe he gets out of Hawaii. Maybe he cuts his hair. Maybe he gets into regular Rodgers routine. We'll see. I think the compromise is this. Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he dislikes Jordan Love. I think he disliked the pick, obviously. As I understand it, what happened is Rodgers, they draft Jordan Love, and Rodgers is pissed off, obviously. And but he doesn't want to be a pain in the ass. So he comes in. He says, all right, without talking to the Packers, he in his own head made this like a Flacco bet. Like, all right, I'm going to go nuclear on the league. I'm going to win MVP at my age. We're going to win 13 games, take this team deep in the playoffs. And when that all happens, you guys, because right now, the way this contract's structured, the one he signed in 2018, it allows the Packers to control when he's done in Green Bay. And I think he wants to control when he's done in Green Bay. And I think that if the Packers were willing to change the way that his contract's structured, so that way he gets to determine the timeline for his departure from Green Bay and not the team, you know, over the next 3 years or whatever it is, then I think he'd be willing to come back. And so the Packers will have to see, you know, the Packers basically have to decide, do we want to have Aaron Rodgers for 3 years, or do we want to have Aaron Rodgers for no years and then Jordan Love for 3 years? And if it's me, you know, I'll just take the L on the draft pick and give Rodgers the money. And say, just play like that for 3 years.
I read somewhere where they offer him upwards of $40 million a year, and he said no to it.
But I think, I think that was leaked by the Packers on purpose, with the idea being that while they offered to increase his give him a bunch of cash in 2021 and increase his overall compensation for the next 3 years, they would still control you know, the cap hit and versus the dead money wouldn't change dramatically, which means they could do this big deal, make him the highest paid quarterback, and it'd still cut him after 1 year if they felt like Jordan Love made the strides or Rodgers was going to fall off a cliff or something like that. And I think that probably ratcheted up Rodgers' stance another notch, because he's like, look, I know what you're doing. And I would guess that you go back to the original contract in 2018, and I would bet that the Packers sold him on the idea of giving them cap flexibility in the later years of his contract so that way they could build the roster around him. And sure, I bet he feels hosed, because in actuality, it was them setting it up so they could decide when to get rid of him. And that became apparent once they drafted the quarterback in the first round. And that, to me, that's what's driving Aaron Rodgers here.
Look at what's happening in Tampa, where they've built absolutely everything around Tom. And they've got a damn good team, and they're chasing rings. And I think Rodgers just doesn't feel that way. Will, we got to let you go. This is the last one. I've been saying for a while now, I don't believe Rodgers plays for Green Bay again. I don't think it's going to happen. What do you think?
I think he does, just because the Packers won't trade him, because they know how stupid that'll look. And I don't think Jordan Love is good enough to come in and win for them right now. But I agree with you in the sense that if you listen to what everyone is saying, and you know, around the league, it's like Rodgers is done with him. And it's just, he's over it, and he doesn't want to play for him anymore. And he is the type of guy who's stubborn enough that maybe he's willing to go that route. I just think if I was handicapping it, I would still say Green Bay, but I'm with you, JP. He is not a Packers fan at the moment.
All right. Big thanks to Will Brinson. Everybody, make sure you follow him on Twitter. Listen to the Pick Six podcast. His Twitter handle is @ Will Brinson. Thank you for the time, dude. Always appreciate it.
All right, Will.
Hey, guys, boys.
Take care, man.
All right. Coming up next, let's react to A-Rod. The latest we've heard from some folks in the Green Bay organization who are still supporting Rodgers, but they're watching what Jordan Love is doing at the same time. Plus, heard it here first, just 20 minutes away. Be Mitch and Finley. Be Mitch and Finley right here, 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along on social media. You can follow Brian on Instagram at bmitch30. Follow me at jpfinleymbcs. B, earlier this morning, like 7:15, I was at NBC4 Washington in Nebraska Ave. That was kind of cool. They were doing like a Pride Month celebration. It was cool just to kind of see the setup over there. It's funny, in the COVID world, like, nobody goes anywhere. So it's just, it's odd when you actually interact with people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, hey.
We're getting there, though.
We're getting close.
So
I saw people in the office today on the other side, too. So.
There you go.
Good thing.
I wanted to kind of dive further into the Aaron Rodgers discussion. We just had Will Brinson from CBS Sports join us. If you missed that interview, hit that Odyssey app, hit the rewind button, and listen to it one more time. But I think our stance is pretty clear on Aaron Rodgers. I understand why he's mad, maybe more than B-Mitch does, but I'm just growing tired of all of it. I think it's just this weird distraction, and he's kind of trolling the Packers with the pictures from Hawaii. I'm not surprised whatsoever that he's not at minicamp. And B, I have a real feel. This really reminds me of the Trent Williams situation when he sat out 2019. It just the way Aaron's talking, kind of the definitive nature of his comments, and he just doesn't seem like a dude that's going to back down, and I don't think Trent was either. And one thing that was interesting during the Trent saga is that some of his teammates openly supported him, and now we're starting to see that in Green Bay, particularly from stud receiver. When we did our Landfill Pop Quiz on wide receiver rankings, who was the number one ranked wide receiver, Landfill?
Was it Davante Adams?
I believe it was. So now let's hear what Davante Adams, Packers receiver that I think caught 18 touchdowns last year, what he thinks about Aaron Rodgers missing minicamp.
If there's ever a wonder of, you know, he's lost a teammate or something because of all this come out, like, he knows where I stand. I'll stand on the I'll stand on the mountain and scream on the mountaintop, you know, that I got his back.
Well, Brian, I don't know about you, but that seemed fairly definitive, especially when he said, I'll stand on a bleeping mountain.
Hey, man, listen. We can sit up here and say we want, but this is, you're talking big dollars, okay? And what he says and what he does is going to be two different things. If he goes back, he goes back. If he doesn't, he doesn't. He loses out. But Aaron, I mean, for his Davante Adams, you could defend him all you want. If he's not there, he hurts you. Think about that for just 1 second. The same people that are jumping up and down, I got his side. He don't show up, he hurts you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so when are you going to start thinking about yourself just a little bit? That's why I always tell people, when you tell me there's no I in team, damn sure it's a me in it, though. Okay, so Davante Adams better start thinking about himself a little bit. Look, Aaron, I need you to come back, dog. If you don't want to do it publicly, call him on the phone.
But here's the other thing. Davante Adams, I believe, is scheduled for free agency next year.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to fall off.
Listen, I mean, the law of averages tells us he's going to fall off anyway. It's hard to get 18 touchdowns 2 years in a row. I want to get the numbers exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So he had 18 touchdowns in 2020. You know how many he had in 2019, B?
How many?
Five. Get Aaron Rodgers back to Wisconsin if you want to get another 18-touchdown season.
That's true.
Now, he does have double-digit TDs 3 years prior to that, but it's interesting to hear this. And, Landfill, do we have the head coach, Matt LaFleur, on Rodgers as well?
Yes, we do. We have a question from a reporter about Aaron Rodgers, and we have Matt LaFleur's response right here.
Hey, Matt, another Aaron question for you. Have you talked to him recently, and is there a sense of optimism, at least on your end, that this is all going to work out? And if so, why is that optimism there?
Yeah, Bill, I'm not going to get into my conversations with Aaron and the communication. And I think, you know, I'm naturally optimistic. But, you know, again, we'll take it day by day and just do whatever we can to help remedy this situation.
Here's what I know doesn't help the Packers. Search Jordan Love's name on Twitter. All anybody will tell you is that he looks awful. And I think, listen, the Packers drafted him last year. It made Rodgers mad. He went out and threw 48 touchdowns against four picks and was the MVP.
And that's more of the reason I think he should have his ass at camp. Because the guy that they drafted is not better than you. You're going to be there as long as you want to be there. That's what I believe. If you're a true competitor and you believe in yourself, then I don't like how we play both sides of our mouths when we talk about these quarterbacks. Quarterback is the most important position. They got to be the toughest, mentally strong, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, he was mad because they drafted a guy who obviously is not better than he is. I would be there showing you up and showing you exactly why you made a mistake. And then when I'm there, guess what I can do? I can manipulate myself into getting what just Will Brinson just talked about. I will control when I leave, and I'm going to get top dollar. But if I'm not there, I can't control anything.
What do you think the Packers could do at this point to smooth this gap?
Give him half of the team. But only thing, I think the thing that really pisses him off the most is the general manager.
Gutekunst.
That's what I think the biggest problem is, the general manager. And I believe that the Green Bay Packers, who know and feel they're bigger than Aaron Rodgers, is not going to let this one person dictate to them how they run their damn business. And then when he's gone, what they going to do then? Everybody else going to come in with the same mindset? And I think that's the ultimate
thing.
They're
in a tough spot, especially if the kid Love can't play.
But you know what? This is Love in camp. This is whoever the reporter is writing it. And he could be a reputable reporter, but he could be an Aaron Rodgers guy too. And he can make it sound how he wants it to sound. So ultimately, When it finally happens, we'll see.
Just saw this tweet. I'm telling you, search Jordan Love on Twitter. It's a wild ride right now. This is from Jason Wild, who covers the Packers for ESPN Wisconsin. He said, Jordan Love was so hot during that Packers third down 11-on-11 period that after he made a perfect 30-yard downfield throw to Aaron Jones, tight ends coach Jason Outen was fanning him with a notepad after Jones's catch. For erratic as he was yesterday, he was exceptional today.
So, in other words, we got two different reporters. And
no, widely the consensus was he looked terrible yesterday.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. The guy looks terrible spring practice, and we jump on it. So he looks spectacular the next day. I guarantee he don't get the same love he gets from being spectacular the next day. That's what's pushed. I'm just saying, two different reporters pushing out something. And you get, when it's negative, we seem to jump on that. We believe all that. But when it's positive, we don't.
You know who I think would have a unique perspective on this?
Who's that?
It's actually Kyle Shanahan. Landfill, I'm curious if we could get Kyle Shanahan's thoughts on, you know, kind of what will happen with the roster in Green Bay as it relates to Aaron Rodgers and the remainder of the weekend and perhaps even the remainder of time. It's an interesting dichotomy with the NFL MVP and a young first-round quarterback. The more and more I hear from Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's coming back, and it just sounds more and more like it did with Trent Williams. But, Lanville, can we get the Kyle Shanahan audio on this?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
Beamish, that goes for all of us, man. Uh-huh. I don't know who's going to be on the roster on Sunday. Could all be attacked by cicadas.
Yeah. We'll see, but that's what I always say. You build your team, so if somebody's not there, you got to find a way to keep moving forward.
I doubt
if the Green Bay Packers, who've been around for a long time, going to allow Aaron Rodgers to just stop them completely.
So you think he comes back?
I'm not concerned if he comes back or not. I think they'll find a way to move on. They may not be what they were last year, but they're going to eventually get back to it. That's what I believe. And I think that's how you build your team. If they sit there and they just try to make every concession for him, how many more years do he have? Does he have 10 years left to play? Nope. So that, they say they'll find a way to move beyond it.
I kind of think they have to. They're getting punked right now. They are getting punked out, and I don't think that's a great place to be either. Rodgers turns 38 in December. Here's what we do next. It's time to tally up all of the action from last night's Heard It Here First section. And it's my understanding there may be some controversy.
Ain't no controversy. We already had that discussion.
Well, I have.
We already had it on air. If you click in early enough, maybe you would have heard it.
You can refresh my memory.
We don't need to refresh it.
When we return.
I'm 0-2. That's all the refresher we need.
All right. Well, that clears that up. Heard It Here First comes next. Beamish and Finley. All right, let's do a little roll call of the week. There were a lot of parlays. Landfill had like two different people making bets for him. I believe so far we've made two picks each. I think I'm 1-1. I think the – who did I have last night? I had the
Clippers plus three.
Who we had?
I had Clippers plus three.
And they pushed.
Oh, so I am 0-1 still then, correct?
Yeah, I guess. That's how betting works, I think.
That's correct.
0-1-1.
Do we keep track of the pushes?
Yeah, it's a tie.
Mm-hmm. It's a tie.
Okay, so I have a tie. Landfill, go ahead and explain yourself, because you have like eight different things going.
Yeah, so what had happened was I thought the the Djokovic match, I thought the Djokovic match was yesterday, but it's actually today, and the app somewhat betrayed me. So I made that pick on Monday, and it obviously didn't happen.
Correct.
So I just didn't have a pick on Monday. So I put in a parlay last night to like make up for it. And Rafael Nadal betrayed me today. So
But didn't you also have Michael Phillips's pick as your proxy
well,
pick?
Well, you gave it to him.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened there.
Okay.
I wasn't paying attention to that at all.
I don't even remember what it was.
It was like the Avalanche or something. So I think I'm minus one half.
He picked somebody from hockey.
What'd you do Monday night?
I said I had the Djokovic thing, and it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
No. So you haven't – so, wait, you've now messed up and missed a parlay, and all you are is 0.5? Thought we'd –
0.75, I think, right?
0.75 sounds right.
All right.
0.75.
I think I'm still winning.
All right. Where are you at, Cody Betts?
I am 0-1 after two missed parlays.
Oh, wow. And B-Mitch?
Hell, I don't know what I am. Now, I know the first week I had the Suns, I think it was.
You're 0-1-1.
0-1-1. How am I 0-1-1?
Which one did he push on?
Last night, you had Clippers plus +3.
Okay. I'm 0-1-1.
Okay. All right. This is clearly confusing for all of us. Tonight, there's only one basketball game, and my guess is that's what B-Mitch and I are going to bet on. But Lord knows what Lamphill and Cody Betts are going to bet on, so you two clowns start.
All right. Well, I need to get some wins, get some points here. So I'm putting a parlay in. I'm going to take a first-inning draw in the Giants-Rangers game tonight. First-inning draw. I just need it to be a tie game after the first inning. That game's going to actually be starting here in about 10 minutes. That is minus 145, and I'm going to be parlaying that with Novak Djokovic to win in straight sets, which is plus 135. Now, a little bit disturbingly, it was plus 110 like 4 minutes ago, so the line's moving against me. By the way, if you actually want to put that parlay in, it'll pay plus 297. So that's my bet.
I think you should stop betting tennis, but considering we're competing, I encourage you to keep betting tennis. All right, Cody Betts,
man,
what do you...
Everybody has their own opinions, and they can do what they want to do. This is America.
I played golf with somebody who said, man, run your race. So whatever you think you got to do, Lamphill, do it. Cody Betts, what is your crazy action tonight?
All right, give me the White Sox against the Blue Jays money line and the Rays against the Nationals money line.
You love that against the Nats. What is your intel to take the White Sox against the Blue Jays?
They're going up against a guy that has only thrown one career game. So he just got called up. And the White Sox are really good.
All right. Well, what is that breaking the rules? Is that over minus 200 then?
No, they're minus 155 and minus 159. They're in the rules.
Okay. B-Mitch, me or you, dude?
Go ahead.
I am taking the Nuggets plus +5. Keeping it, 5.5, I believe, Lamphill.
I think it's 5.5.
Lamphill, give me confirmation. Nuggets plus +5.5.
I'm checking. Nuggets plus +5.5. Nuggets plus +5.5. I'm sorry.
All right. Boom. I am locked in. Nuggets plus +5.5. Give me my guy Jokic tonight.
The MVP?
Yeah, the MVP. You're up, B. Mitchell. Dude, I saw the most ruthless thing on Twitter. So was he a second round pick, I'm guessing?
Who, Jokic?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, because, a lot of times when they're drafted guys from Europe, they still, have time on their contract in Europe.
Uh-huh.
So I got to look this up. Yeah, he was a second round pick. So much like they do in the NFL, when the NBA is doing their draft coverage, when they get late into the draft, they kind of just run commercials and announce the draft picks below. And it's not live with each pick, especially the 41st overall pick in 2014 when Nikola Jokic was picked.
Mm-hmm.
When Jokic was picked, the actual NBA draft coverage was a Taco Bell commercial. And all they did was run his name below. Pretty damn funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on. I feel like I just have to bring this up. He played in Serbia before coming to the NBA. Do you want to take a guess what the Serbian club that he played for is currently called?
Partizan Belgrade.
It's called Mega Soccer Bet.
Mega Soccer Bet?
Mega Soccer Bet. Apparently it was known as Mega Basket when he was there, and now it's Mega Soccer
Mega
Bet.
Mega Soccer Bet?
So they're just
soccer
selling
bet.
They're selling the actual team name to a betting website.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've been
there.
They're smart.
They're getting all the money, JP.
Serbia is a wild, wild place. I'll never forget my buddy's wife, now wife. I went over there for a wedding. So they have actual bands of gypsies that walk around and, compete to play at weddings. So I was there for a wedding, and this competing bands of gypsies tried to board a lot of things are done on the river.
Hey,
on
JP,
these, like, yes.
JP,
Yes.
Get off of this soapbox you're on. I got to pick my
How
damn bet.
How is that
bet.
A soapbox?
I got to pick my bet. You just start going off and just leave the damn show all the time and just going on these little tangents.
I'm picking
the Suns. I can't land bad with you. I'm going against you.
So we're going heads up tonight, huh?
Yeah.
All right. You're -5.5?
Yep.
I like
it. And if you win, you get 5.5 strokes the next time we play.
For somebody that is such a rules snob about golf,
people that don't, see, that's one thing about him. He never shuts up. I was about to say per side, but you know what? You'd never get it. Well, you get 5.5 total.
Oh, Brian, what am I going to do with you?
You're not going to beat me in golf.
I kind of want to hear more about the roving bands of gypsies. Did you, like, text me after the show?
One gypsy ended up stabbing another gypsy, and the gypsy band that won got
whoever
to board
just
our
tuned
boat.
In is like, what the hell are they talking
it
about?
It was wild, man.
Gypsies stabbing gypsies?
Beautiful, that dude's crazy. Beautiful place, really good food, but it is wild out there. I went to an AC/DC concert. I'll tell you about that another day. Coming up next, Grant and Danny, they're going to break down all the news from Washington football team minicamp and talk a little bit about the Washington Nationals. If you made it this far,
JP, or you're a gypsy.